Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome back to the podcast, where I've been reading you Deep in the Woods, Book 1 of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. Today, I will continue reading you Annabelle Joseph's book with Episode 16. Chapter 16. Dr. Perez shook her head gently at Sophie. You must remember, none of this was your fault. Your former partner drugged you. He abused you. He isolated you and broke you down. He was an expert at manipulating you and manipulating the truth. There's no one to blame here but him. I know, Sophie answered, shifting on the leather sofa. My head knows that, but my heart. Sophie felt as if she'd been crying for weeks. As soon as she started to feel better, something would make her remember, and the tears would begin again. She'd never even known she carried a child, much less lost it. She felt robbed, cheated. Only now, long after the fact, had she learned what was taken from her, long, long past the time she had any power to do things differently. If only she had known she was pregnant, she might have found the strength to leave him, and her baby might have had a chance. If only she hadn't met Barry in the first place, if only she'd left him at the start, when things started changing. If only, if only, if only. None of it mattered now. There was nothing to be done now. Nothing to do but mourn. Sophie hadn't returned to Overton Park in the 2 months since she left. She knew she could never go there again. It was a cursed place to her now, a place she lost a baby and almost lost her life. She found the answers she wanted there, but at a terrible price. Hazy, confusing nightmares had been replaced by waking knowledge she could never forget. She possessed the truth now, the whole truth of what happened in that clearing, and Barry was finally going to pay for his crimes, but closure still eluded her. Sophie feared closure was something she would never know. And how is your relationship with Dave holding up, Sophie? Everything okay?
Yes, he's been wonderful. Sometimes I think, if not for him.
Dr. Perez frowned.
I'm glad to hear things are going well, but remember what we talked about. It's not healthy to be dependent on someone else for your happiness.
Happiness? Sophie cut her off.
I'm just trying to get through each day. Dave is the only thing keeping me sane with all this shit going on right now.
Don't get upset. This is an issue we've been talking about for some time now. It's perfectly fine to lean on trusted friends and loved ones, but at the end of the day, who does Sophie need to be at peace with? Who nurtures Sophie?
Me. I do.
Sophie sighed. It was easy to say, but harder to accomplish.
What about your studies? Dr. Perez asked. Still keeping up all right?
Yes, just fine.
Great.
Actually, the new semester was the best thing that could have happened, allowing her to get her mind off the loss she felt and the messy ongoing legal case.
And I think I'm finally going to quit my UPS job and focus 100% on school.
Fantastic. That's a big step, focusing on the future, doing what's best for your progress.
I hope it works out. Dave wants to spend more time with me anyway.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
This is an important time for you to stay connected to your partner.
Dr. Perez put down her notebook and smiled at Sophie.
When you talk about him, it's obvious to me that he makes you happy in a very positive way.
She looked at her watch.
Well, that's about it for this week. Call me if you need me. And Sophie, this week try to reach for happiness, however you are able. It's something only you can do. We are not always able to be at peace with our past, and we are not always fortunate enough to live without sadness. But we can always strive to move toward happiness. Keep that in mind.
Sophie nodded. She wanted to strive for happiness. She wanted to move on. It was just the feat of actually doing it. As she drove home, she thought to herself that Dave wasn't exactly helping her move on either. He had remained awfully cautious with her, even though the bruises around her neck had faded from purple to pink to yellowish green and then completely away. They still made love nearly every night,
close, intimate encounters, but they were vanilla from start to end. She needed her Dom back. That night over dinner, Sophie told Dave about the things she and Dr. Perez had talked about. He told her about his photo session with a master and his very inexperienced and nervous slave, and made her laugh. Then she looked across the table at him.
"When are you going to photograph me again?"
Dave fell silent.
"Don't you want to photograph me anymore?"
Sophie hated the insecure way her voice sounded.
"The thing is," Dave stood to clear the table, "I don't want to add any more pressure to your life right now."
"It's not pressure."
Sophie got up to help him. They started loading the dishwasher together, letting Serby pre-clean each dish with a few broad laps of his tongue.
"I like posing for you. We haven't done it in so long. I didn't know if there was a reason."
"There's no real reason. It's just, when I photograph you, you're so exposed. There's so much I see."
Sophie frowned.
"You don't like what you see?"
"No, I love what I see. It's just the intensity of it. Jesus, Sophie, I almost lost you a few weeks ago."
"But I'm here. I survived. And I haven't had a nightmare since."
Her voice trailed off, but Dave looked up, his brows drawn together in thought.
"Hey, you're right. You haven't."
"I also haven't had a spanking."
She blushed as soon as she uttered the sentence. It felt like she was topping from below, but Dr. Perez had told her to strive for happiness. Well, she was striving. She hoped she didn't live to regret it. Dave shut the dishwasher and straightened slowly, his arms crossed over his chest.
"That's true, too. Not that you don't deserve a whopper of a punishment for what you put me through. So what would you rather have, a photography session or a punishment session?"
"Please, sir,"
Sophie answered.
"I would like both."
He took his time undressing her. How long had it been since he'd played with her this way? He wanted to trace every curve, lick every freckle. They'd been physically close since that fearsome January day, but their lovemaking had become tentative, too gentle for them both. He had known it, and now he realized Sophie felt it too. But no matter. He could easily correct that. "What should I use to punish you?" "It should be something harsh, shouldn't it? For running off alone? For scaring me out of my wits?"
"Yes, sir, but..."
"But what?"
"You know I've never been very good at taking pain."
Dave laughed.
"I think before anything else, you deserve a gag for telling lies like that. But I like the noises you make when I hurt you. No gag. But no more lip either, do you understand?"
"Yes, sir."
"Bend over the bed, hands behind your back."
He watched her lean her beautiful body over the footboard until her breasts rested on the comforter and her heart-shaped ass was in the air. Her face turned to the side, resigned and peaceful.
"Do you like when sir punishes you and gives you what you deserve, little one?"
he asked as he walked to the toy chest and started riffling through its contents.
"Yes,"
she sighed. He turned back to her.
"Yes, sir, you mean?"
He saw the slight tense and shudder.
"Yes, sir."
"That's better. Just because you know I'm going to fuck you senseless at the conclusion of your punishment doesn't mean you should be off in dreamland now."
"No, sir,"
she replied, shifting from foot to foot.
Very nice, trying to distract him with her cute, proffered ass. Well, it was working. His cock was already growing hard, and he hadn't even commenced the punishment yet.
He finished choosing his instruments and went back to the bed. He laid them out in a line in front of Sophie's face. Cuffs, thigh straps, nipple clamps, lube, anal plug, crop, wooden spoon, cane. Her audible gulp had him stifling a smile.
"You wanted a session, Sophie. 10 with each. Then, a thorough fucking. That should teach you a lesson."
"Yes, sir,"
she stammered, her eyes wide. Stand up.
He reached for the last item he'd shoved in his pocket as she straightened and faced him.
Sophie, you remember the first time I made love to you?
Yes. Oh, yes, sir.
What do you remember about it?
She bit her lip for a moment. I was really nervous.
Yes. What else?
You made me come. You felt so perfect when you came inside me and filled me up. It was amazing.
He dropped a kiss on her forehead. Yes, sweet girl, it was amazing. But what else do you remember? What do you remember seeing?
She smiled, understanding. Nothing. It was dark.
Absolutely dark, wasn't it? Pitch black. You insisted on it. Now I'm going to insist on the same thing.
He lifted the blindfold and placed it over her eyes as she closed them in submission. As he fastened it in the back, he spoke in her ear.
That night, because it was so dark, the only thing we concentrated on was sensation and emotion. That's what I want you to do today. Okay, baby?
Yes, sir.
She was so excited, her voice was quivery. He resisted the temptation to grope her between the thighs, but then the impulse became too strong. He reached down and slid his fingers between her slickened lips. She gasped as he nuzzled her cheek and plunged his fingers deeper, bringing her up on her toes.
It's okay, girl. I've got you.
She sighed as he withdrew his fingers, drawing them back across her swollen clit with teasing slowness. Her hips twitched against his hand.
No, not yet. Behave yourself.
He brought his fingers to her lips and let her smell her musky feminine fragrance before he slipped them into her mouth. She licked and sucked them obediently, and Dave thought with approval that she was already far off in subspace. It was always easier to punish her then. He dropped his hand and pulled away, lifting the nipple clamps. She tensed at the small rattle and clink of the connecting chain that identified the sensation to come. The sadist in him made her wait, not knowing when each clamp would close its painful jaws on her nipples. She was so aroused that the pink peaks of her breasts were already drawn up tight. Taking care to make no noise, he attached the first clamp. She made a small jerk and sob at the sudden biting ache.
Yes, girl, that's one.
She made a low keening sound as he made her wait for the other one, and then again the cry and sob as the second clamp attached to its target. Dave turned her, bending her over the bed so her clamped nipples were pressed against the mattress.
Enough whining. Spread your legs.
She spread them, and then he spread them wider still, buckling a wide leather strap around the top of each slender thigh. With that done, he took each wrist and attached a matching leather cuff, which was then clipped to an eye hook on the thigh strap, in effect pinning her arms at her side. He looked down at his sub, blindfolded, clamped, restrained, totally and willingly at his mercy. As usual, the sight of him made his breath catch and his cock throb even more. He lifted the silicone anal plug and added lube to the tip, then parted Sophie's cheeks to deposit some of the slippery substance to her tight hole. She flinched, but held still.
Don't tense, he warned her. You know it only makes it harder. No matter what, it's going in.
Sophie sighed, and he felt her relax. He pressed the tip against her ass and pushed the plug in steadily. Her urgent mews built in intensity as the broadest part of the plug parted her. Her noises faded into a little sigh as it was fully seated inside.
Your little ass is filled up now. Yes, girl?
Yes, sir. She shifted onto her toes and back down again. Dave fought for control, tried to modulate his voice.
And you're completely at my mercy. My own girl, to do with as I please.
Yes, sir. She arched her hips again and then ground them against the covers. He picked up the crop and brought it down across the backs of her thighs.
Ow!
Her hands jerked in the restraints, and she wiggled her ass, prompting him to land the second stroke without delay.
No masturbating yourself against the footboard, he said as he brought the crop down again.
Ouch! Oh!
We've discussed this before. When you're bent over to be punished, you're not to rub your clit against the bed like a horny little slut.
Whack!
Another blow, and another one before she found her breath.
I'm sorry, sir.
He finished 10 strokes with the crop, half on her ass and half on the tight skin across her upper thighs, enjoying the sight of her hopping up and down on her toes. He selected the wooden spoon next and rubbed it over her ass cheeks and between her thighs.
Your favorite.
Her only answer was a drawn-out moan.
As I recall, you were the one who asked to be punished. Be careful what you wish for. And for your horny little masturbatory display, I think we'll do 20 with this.
He paddled her fast and hard with the stinging implement. 10 firm swats on one cheek, and then the same torturous treatment on the other cheek. She wailed as the blows rained down, no respite between them. By the end, she was gasping and her ass was beet red.
Please, sir, please.
Please what? Please may I have some more, sir?
No, 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 no.
In her current state of distress, he excused her omission of the honorary and instead distracted himself pinching her crimson ass.
Man, those are some hot butt cheeks, Sophie. That must have really hurt.
Oh,
she whined, clenching around the thick plug in her ass.
But the cane will hurt worse, don't you think? Or perhaps not. You may still be feeling numb from the wooden spoon. Let's see.
He lifted the cane and delivered a stroke across the center of her bottom. She cried out pitifully, her head thrashing from side to side until she buried her face in the comforter. He gave her the next stroke about 30 seconds later, and then 2 more above and below it. Her whole body was strung tight and tense, like a vibrating bowstring. He landed another stroke on the tender skin between her ass and thighs, and she screamed.
Hush.
He stroked hands down her back, calming her, willing her to relax. He wasn't even using his normal amount of force, due to the fact they hadn't played in so long. It had to be the blindfold, the sensory deprivation that was increasing the intensity to an almost unbearable level for her.
Okay, Sophie. It's okay. If you need me to stop, I'll stop. There are 5 more. Do you want to finish your punishment, or have you had enough?
His hands were so warm, so soothing against her skin. Her whole body was thrumming as if electrified.
Do you want to finish your punishment, or have you had enough?
No, it was never enough with him. She didn't want to stop now. She shook her head, her hands making fists at her side.
Speak to me, Dave prompted. 5 more. Yes or no?
Sophie gathered herself up to speak.
Yes, sir, she said. I can take 5 more.
She needed 5 more. She needed to know he would give what he promised to give and that she could take it. She needed to know that she was tough enough to take it and that she'd survive on the other side. Not just survive, but bask in the act of surviving it. But ow, God, it hurt. It stung like fire laid across her ass.
Breathe in, breathe out. Only 4 more. Ow!
3 more. But it was so difficult because he waited between each blow. Just when the pain from the last blow faded to a point where it was bearable, the horrible cane would fall again. And again Sophie's nails would dig into her thighs, and her whole body would resist the urge to beg, to flee, to collapse at his feet and kiss them. Sophie sobbed as another blow fell. Was that 8 or 9? He was counting the strokes aloud, but Sophie's breath and wails were too loud in her ears to hear. She was crying in earnest, muffling her tears in the same soft coverlet that kept her warm at night when she cuddled next to him. She waited in her dark world, held fast in the embrace of Dave's restraints, her nipples throbbing in their bondage,
Her ass felt vulnerable, helplessly offered for punishment as his insidious toy mastered her from inside. Another blow, and a falling away. Her body took the pain in and accepted it at long last, almost reveled in it. When the last stroke fell diagonally across her aching ass, the joy outpaced the pain and she sobbed with relief behind her blindfold. By this time, it was so soaked with tears that it felt wet and cool against her eyelids. She moaned as large hands landed on her cheeks and squeezed them, a hard, possessive pinch. She heard his own sigh, the rattling condom wrapper.
"Yes, please, please, please."
His cock slid inside her to the hilt, his balls tickling her clit as she arched back against him. His hands closed on her wrists. He pressed her down and fucked her hard. His pelvis pummeled against the plug, driving it deeper. From inside, she felt wild and full of this man, her lover. He pulled away with a grunt, and she whined in protest. Suddenly cold and empty again, her clit aching to contact something, anything to ease the hot madness she felt. He reached down and eased the plug from her ass. Before she could even gasp, it was replaced by the nudging head of his thick cock. He wrapped one arm around her pelvis and used the other to guide himself inch by inch into her narrow passage. Sophie reveled in the familiar feeling of being overpowered, impaled. He put his hands on her shoulders and lifted her back against him. He held her close, held himself near, seated deep in her ass. "I've got you. You're mine. I'm deep inside you now." She could only groan in agreement. His hand trailed up her belly to tug the chain hanging down between her breasts. The surge of pain and ecstasy made her ass clench around his dick as it bucked in and out.
"Oh, please, please, take me, fuck me,"
Sophie begged. He pulled harder on the chain. She threw her head back against his solid chest, her arms still pinned at her sides, her legs straining and trembling. "Come for me, baby," he said. "I want to feel you come with my cock inside your ass. Come for me." She ground back against him, completely gone. The only thing that existed in her dark world was his breath in her ear, his tugs at her tortured nipples, his pelvis ramming against her ass, and his cock deep inside. Then his other hand trailed around her hip and lower. His fingers found her center and massaged the aching button there. Sophie's voice left her, replaced by incoherent sounds of pleading. The fingers paused and then resumed teasing her again. Stroke, stroke, and the world ceased to exist around her. Her entire body convulsed and the orgasm took her. She fell forward, limp, as Dave growled deep in his throat and pumped his release into her. Sophie lay gasping in darkness, adjusting to the emptiness she always felt when Dave pulled out of her in a way. She stayed still, unmoving, until she felt gentle hands undoing the cuffs at her sides and unfastening the blindfold. He drew it away, and Sophie gazed transfixed into Dave's deep hazel eyes.
"Thank you, sir," she whispered.
"My pleasure," he answered with a smile. They showered together, washing and caressing each other in the afterglow. Sophie scrubbed Dave first, enjoying the wonderful textures and taut, sculpted surfaces of her man. She loved his broad shoulders and the way his hairy chest curved down into the flat plane of abs, and then lower, his male organ, sexy and virile even at rest. Dave took a long time, too, exploring every curve, every crevice of Sophie, gently soaping and rinsing. He turned off the water, but he wouldn't let her dry off. While she was still covered in dewy drops from the shower, he took up his camera and turned it on her. He took his time photographing her. He ran warm fingertips across the slick surfaces of everything he photographed, her belly, her breasts, her hips. She loved his face as he took pictures. His eyes looked so soft and yet so perceptive.
his lips pursed in a small frown she wanted to kiss. Then he did kiss her, holding the camera out to the side to snap photos of them. Sophie barely noticed, transfixed by his lips and the fingertips exploring her body. Then his fingers stopped short and his palm went flat against her belly. He lowered the camera, his brows drawn together in a serious expression.
"Sophie, honey, did you get your period last month?"
"No," she said after a moment. "I totally skipped it. Stress, I guess."
Dave's serious gaze transformed into a kind of guilty shock.
"What? What is it?"
Wow. Fuck. With everything that happened, I totally forgot to tell you, Sophie."
He was babbling, something she had never known him to do since the day he'd met her. She reached out and touched his face.
"Dave, what is it? Talk to me."
"That night in the woods, when we chased you, the night before you went to Overton."
"Yes?"
"After we fucked there on the ground in the woods, after I stood up and sent you running off again, I looked down and realized the condom had broken. I meant to tell you the next time I saw you, but then you flipped out with Ryan, and I forgot about it. I remembered again on the way to the airport the next day, but then everything with Barry happened and it just completely slipped my mind until now. God, I'm so sorry."
"Sorry? Why? You think I might be pregnant?"
He traced her breasts again, the curve of her hips.
"I noticed tonight that your body is changing. Your breasts are getting fuller. Your nipples are getting darker. Have you been feeling sick at all?"
Sophie swallowed down panic.
"I have been, but it's just because I haven't been eating. I haven't been feeling right since a couple of weeks ago."
Her voice trailed off as the import of her words sank in.
"God, really?"
"Oh, Soph."
The way he looked at her made her heart ache, as if she could be angry with him, as if she would blame him. If she was pregnant, it was an accident, an unfortunate twist of fate. She realized then that her situation with Barry had been the same. She had no control over what Barry had done to her that night, no more control than Dave had over a broken condom.
"It wasn't your fault," she said, stroking his hair.
"But if I had remembered, we might have done something. You could have taken one of those morning after pills."
"Morning after pills? You mean that morning I found out I lost a baby? The day after I almost died?"
"Jesus, I guess it wasn't the best time to bring it up, but I shouldn't have forgotten altogether. This is my fault."
"It's not your fault. It was an accident. I'm not upset with you."
He sighed. "If you decide you want an abortion, I'll live with it. I mean, I don't want you to, but I'll understand."
"Dave, we're not even sure I'm pregnant, so don't go scheduling any abortions yet. Besides, there's no way in hell I'd ever want to get rid of your baby. This wasn't exactly on the schedule, but..."
He looked up at her, hopeful again. "God, baby. We could make it work. I swear. We'll do whatever we have to. I'll work a second job so we can get a nanny and you can stay in med school."
"Okay.
We'll figure out a way so one of us can always be home with the baby. My schedule is really flexible."
"Okay."
"And if we have to ask your parents for help..." "God, I guess we will, if we have to." Sophie giggled and put her hand over Dave's mouth.
"I said okay. I'm sure everything will be fine. But before you flip out any further, maybe I should actually take a pregnancy test."
They found a 24-hour pharmacy, and Sophie took the test right there in the restroom, neither of them willing to wait another moment to find out. She brought the completed test out to show Dave.
two pink lines, dark and solid. She smiled at him, her eyes alight.
I guess you were right.
Dave threw his arms around her and started whooping right there in the store, bringing a look of alarm to the cashier's face. In the car on the way home, Sophie hugged herself, feeling emotional and excited. Another pregnancy. A new chance at life. Again. It was amazing how life kept throwing her second chances. Into the woods, and back out again. And again.
What are you thinking about?
Dave reached for her hand. Sophie squeezed it and sighed.
You know, it's really weird. I lost a baby on the ground, in the woods, on a dark winter night. And now, this baby, it was conceived.
On the ground, in the woods, on a dark winter night. I know. Believe me, I've been thinking about that too.
Do you ever think this is all just, I don't know, fate? I mean, if I'd had that baby, Barry would have used it to keep me with him. I never would have met you. Who knows how things might have ended up? The baby and I would probably both be dead by now.
I know what you mean. I think about that all the time. It's like life sends you on this path or that path, and you never know where you're going to end up or why things happen the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie agreed.
Totally random. You never know.
But I know this, he said, kissing her hand. For me now, forever, all paths lead to you. However we got here, I'm so happy with you, honey. I'm so happy with our life together.
Me too,
said Sophie, resting her other hand over her still flat tummy.
God, me too.
The end of this episode. Come back tomorrow, and I'll read you episode 17, the final episode including the epilogue, To Deep in the Woods, book one of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. You can find out more about Annabelle Joseph and her books at annabellejoseph.com. I'm Donovan Kane. Thank you for listening.